Hello, world. Welcome to my show, Psych for Sound, Life Coaching with a Twist. Psych for Sound, the more you see yourself, the more you see yourself as you truly are, the sounder choices you make in life. Sounded choices lead to a life living in your potential, and I'm here to ignite your potential. That's my purpose. That's what I love to do. And thank you for listening. My name is Janet Kaleri. I'm your host and your life coach. And today we have a fantastic guest, and that guest is you. So thank you for listening. And I encourage you to call in, share any thoughts you have. Perhaps you have some questions. You don't have to give us your real name. If you've got a pending question that you'd like some clarity on, give me a call, 877-876-5227. That's the toll-free number, 530-876-3222. That's the local phone number. And for those in Canada, 888-815-9756. And again, 877-876-5227. You're welcome to call in, share some thoughts, ask some questions. I'm ready for you. First, I would love to thank Don and Seth, the founders, owners of BBS Radio. Thank you so much for having me and for the opportunity to share some insight, shed some insight on the world to my audience. I want to thank Camille Amin, my guest on my last show, Camille Amin, the co-founder of Inside Out Community Arts. And I would also like to thank Noah Murphy, my confidant, my partner in crime, and Hans Phillips. I recently became a certified coach a couple of weeks ago, and Hans Phillips of Ontico Coaching, he certified me. So thank you, Hans, very much for that opportunity. And Noel, thank you so much for making it happen. I'm going to give a little history of myself for those who are listening for the first time. My name's Janet. I'm a life coach and originally from Boston. Go Red Sox! And I currently live in Los Angeles. And in about, it was the year 2000, I'd been wanting to go on a cross-country road trip for about 3 years and was asking different friends in my life to go along with me. And then one day decided that I wasn't going to wait anymore, so I went on this road trip by myself, which some people thought was very risky, being a young, attractive woman driving a 1998 Toyota Tercel. So I made my way across the beautiful country of USA and discovered so much beauty. One thing I discovered was the magic of San Francisco. I stayed there for 48 hours, or was it 24 hours? And as I drove into the city, I felt this magic. Didn't really know exactly what it was. It's difficult to define, but the next day I left and headed back east towards Boston, and I began to cry. I cried for about 2 hours and called my sister and just said, I don't want to leave San Francisco. And it was at that moment that I realized I was going to move there, because at that time in my life I was feeling stuck. wasn't sure what direction to go, wasn't sure what my purpose was. I did know that I loved igniting potential in others, and I was doing that through my photography. I had started a photography business in Boston, I think in 96, and primarily for musicians. I love music, and was helping them with their album covers and websites and marketing materials, and really enjoyed that process. But there was something there was something missing. I wasn't quite clear on what that was. So my drive home from San Francisco, that moment, I decided I was going to move there, and I gave myself a year and finished up my business in Boston. Didn't know anybody in San Francisco. Wasn't really sure what I was going to do. I was focused on photography work, and I ended up connecting with Judy and Randy Revell, the founders of Context Associated, which is a leadership and personal development company. And, well, they were in San Francisco. They're now in Seattle. And my life changed from that moment on. And that is how I became a coach. So the something that was missing for me was more of the vehicle. I was inspiring people with my photography, and one day it just dawned on me that being a life coach would bring more value to people and more value for them to live in their potential. And the rest is history. I mentioned earlier that I recently became a certified life coach, and I thought that I would share my thesis with you on my definition of a coach and my definition of coaching. So what is a coach? Coaching is an experiential, forward-moving, and results-based process in direct alignment with trust and respect between the coach and client. A coach ignites your potential in ways you think are impossible and never dare dream of. A coach is a human mirror with similar life experiences such as yours, yet is objective, creative, intuitive, confidential, and compassionate. So you see who you truly are. And when you begin to see your core essence and determine your purpose, you make sound choices in life. So let the fun begin in the coaching process. Through questioning and listening, the coach assists you in having breakthroughs, big or small, professionally or personally, urging you unfailingly towards insight of your greatness and roadblocks. You now get out of your own way and begin creating an effective path and approach to life. A coach is not a therapist, advisor, or counselor. An effective coach has a myriad of life experiences to recall upon and shed light on your situation, turning obligation into opportunity, turning hopelessness into possibility, turning victim into freedom, and another word for freedom is ownership, turning ugliness into beauty, suffering into joyful contribution, vision into actualization. A coach is a fallible individual who believes in you and your value, sees your beauty and spirit on a level that is incomprehensible to most. One who stops at nothing to make a difference in your life, ensuring your positive impact on the world. A sometimes quirky character who knows you better than you do, from a place of integrity, calling you on your stuff, nurturing you to surrender to your truth. Interweaving skills of intuition and knowledge to question who you are being before asking what actions you are taking. A coach is willing to put aside a prepared format session, breathe, and go through your core, peeling layers one at a time until you come to clarity in that moment. Whether you work with the coach on a professional, personal, or spiritual level, you are guaranteed a higher level of self-awareness. This is great news, simply because the more you know yourself, the better your life works. Some of the enhanced results are what you create, but are not limited to. Increased productivity, increased confidence, effective communication skills, a higher level of commitment and ownership, healthier relationships, balance, compassion for self and others, a greater sense of joy and gratitude, and clarity of your purpose. So now you are revealing on the outside what was temporarily stifled on the inside. You are now unreasonable, beyond normal limits. You are enraged with excitement and enthusiasm, engaged in possibility, unsurpassed in your purpose, skills, qualities, strengths, and commitment to a healthy, wealthy, and ecstatic life. So I want to go back to the part of you revealing on the outside what was temporarily stifled on the inside. Part of my coaching is a unique component where I photograph my clients, so it's somewhat of a before and after photo. And I believe that what is going on the inside, spiritually, emotionally, is what you present to the world. And if your self-expression is stifled, you may look at a photo of yourself and say, hey, that doesn't really capture who I am. And this came about one day a few years ago when I was looking at photos of myself from the years before I moved to San Francisco and became engaged in personal development. And then I was looking at photos of myself after some personal development. And the photos of me after the shifts inside were capturing my core essence. And laying out on the floor were the photos of before the year 2001. And that's when I realized that it wasn't the photographer. It was me. It was me feeling a little stifled inside, not really fully expressing who I was. And then once I got to a place where I was willing to express who I was, that really showed up on the outside. So there was more life in my eyes. My skin tone changed. The way I held myself changed. More confidence overall. So my question for you is, what are you stifling on the inside? What area of your life would you like to enhance? Do you think anything is missing? If so, do you know what that is? So call into the show if you'd like some support and any questions you have about any area that you would like to enhance in your life. So I've been getting a lot of emails in response to the radio show here, and I'd like to share some with you and answer these questions. So perhaps these people are listening, and to my audience, perhaps some of these questions directly relate to who you are and what's going on in your life. Hi, Janet. I love your insight and view of the world. Thank you for taking the time to share it all. I'd like to make a career change, but don't know where to start. I'm a burnt-out electrical engineer, and I love writing. Any thoughts? That's from Kevin in Arkansas. Well, thanks for your email, Kevin. It's a great question. I do have a lot of people hire me for career changes, and they usually come to me at a point where they're burnt out in their career and are feeling stuck, are feeling stifled, and want to know what's next. What's the next step? Most of those people feel apprehensive and change in their career. They don't want to give up a sense of financial security. Some of them don't want to give up their level of ranking in the workplace. And they don't want to give up the people that they work with, like being around the people that they enjoy being around. So my first thought is you're an electrical engineer, and perhaps you are more on the analytical side. And working with a lot of analytical people myself, one thing I noticed that's somewhat of, it's mostly a common denominator here, a common thread amongst the analyticals is they want to see proof. They want evidence. They want proof before they actually create change or before they make a choice. And I understand that. I understand that there's a resignation in making a change without knowing what's going to manifest on the other side. So my question is, are you an analytical person, and are you the type of person who requires proof and evidence before you make a decision or before you make a choice? So that's the first question. And my next question is, would you be willing to try on something new? Experiment with some tools and for a certain amount of time. So you can choose that certain amount of time. You can say, okay, I'm willing to experiment with this coaching tool for 1 week. And are you willing to do that? And then at the end of 1 week, see if you get your evidence or your proof. Maybe you'd be a little more daring and say, I'm going to experiment with this for a month and see what the results are at the end of the month. So that's one approach to a career change or just to a change at all, especially if you're an analytical person. So you say you love writing. Writing, I'm glad you love writing. It's a creative endeavor that I think balances out the engineer in you, Kevin. And what do you like to write? Who do you want to write to? Who's your audience? What is your intention in writing? So do you want to create a positive impact on the world, or is it something that is really private to you, and is it something that you'd be willing to explore in a career? There are plenty of organizations. There are plenty of classes and schools for writing. Perhaps you want to take up some writing classes and see where that takes you. And, of course, you are always welcome to call me. And my website, siteforsound.com, and you can learn more about my coaching services there and give me a call. So thanks, Kevin. I hope these questions have provoked some questions in you, and I look forward to hearing what happens next for you. So let's see, we have Kelly in New York City. Dear Coach Kaleri, I enjoyed your last show on differences, especially the comment about agreeing to disagree. So what if the person does not agree to disagree? Great question, Kelly. So a little review on differences we spoke about a couple of weeks ago. The differences between two people, the differences at the workplace, the differences between countries and religions, etc. And there's also the inner conflict, the difference going on in ourselves between what we really desire and what we think that we should do. And I gave an example driving across the country with my sister, and I wasn't wearing my seatbelt. And she was concerned for my safety and was requesting that I wear my seatbelt. And at that time, I was very adamant about not wearing it. And we bickered back and forth for a while, and then she turned to me and said, well, how about if we agree to disagree? So I thought that was brilliant. And now Kelly is asking, well, what if the person does not agree to disagree? You could agree to disagree to not agree. That's one option. It really depends. It really depends. One of the questions we put out there is, what is the intention? So, Kelly, what is your intention in this situation? What is this other person's intention in this situation? So you may want to go for that and have a conversation about your intention and see what happens there. It may come down to some core values and having a difference in core values. And usually at that place, some people part their ways. Some people just agree to respect each other's core values and treat each other with respect. Maybe the relationship just stays where it's at and it doesn't develop more. But I like the question, what if a person does not agree to disagree? If any of you have any thoughts on that, please call in, 877-876-5227. Thanks, Kelly. Oh, let's see here. Okay. Hi, Janet. We have a caller. Hi.
Hi, it's Rocky calling.
Hi, Rocky.
How are you?
I am great. How are you doing?
I'm listening to you on the on my computer. There must be some lag time because it sounds like you're still talking, and you're talking to me on the phone.
Well, I probably want to turn the volume down on your computer, I guess.
I just did.
So where are you calling from, Rocky?
I'm calling from San Jose, California.
Wonderful.
Yeah, I love your show. It's really insightful.
Thank you.
I have a question for you.
Yes.
So I'm in betwixt things right now. I have some irons in the fire on both business ideas, and I'm trying to find work. And I just my wife just had a baby boy. So
congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah.
Wow.
I'm obviously a little bit anxious on where the money is going to come from, and the business things haven't come to fruition yet, and I haven't been able to get a lot of interviews. So I'm just wondering, from a coaching point of view, what your recommendations are for getting through this time period or getting something happening.
Great question, Rocky. So Rocky's got a lot of irons in the fire. He's looking for work. He's just had a baby boy. He's anxious about the finances and hasn't been getting a lot of interviews. So, well, my first question, Rocky, is in your situation right now, are you willing to get a part-time job?
Yes.
Okay. I asked this question.
We have payments that we need to make, and they're fairly high, the mortgages and the insurances and the food and everything else. So what we call our burn rate per month is fairly high. So a part-time job wouldn't satisfy all the needs per month.
Would getting a part-time job alleviate some anxiety for you?
It might. I'm not sure, to be honest with you. I'd still be thinking that I'm not quite bringing in enough to pay the bills every month.
Well, one thing that I notice in a lot of people is when they're willing to do what it takes in the now, whether it seems glamorous or not, or whether it seems like it's going to solve the problem or solve a situation, when they step into that, it actually does alleviate a lot of anxiety, and then the person becomes obviously less anxious, the person becomes more confident, and in the meantime, they're still putting themselves out there in the interview process, and in that confidence and in that greater sense of freedom, they tend to attract what they're really going for.
I see.
And so my suggestion is putting your 2 feet in and doing what it takes right now, in the now, and knowing that your anxiety will diminish somewhat and that you are actually moving energy. So you're unstucking yourself. And
right.
Once you unstuck yourself, things start to show up. Opportunities begin to show up. And the only way to manifest what you really desire is to shift your energy. So a lot of times, if people just stay in the stuckness, if they stay on the fence, it seems that there are no opportunities coming, and they are somewhat blind to what's out there because they're ridden with the anxiety and the worry. And so an example of going for a part-time job is going to, it's like a tub of water, and you're just kind of swimming in the water of stuckness. And once you step into a part-time job, let's say, the water starts to drain. So it's like all these worries and anxieties in your head start to drain out, and then you start seeing clearer. And you start seeing opportunities that are in front of you that you didn't see before.
Right.
Would
you recommend, or does it need to be in the field that I'm looking for, or just going to flip burgers at McDonald's would be fine?
I recommend getting a part-time job, not necessarily in your field, not necessarily at McDonald's, because the transportation time and the pay may not balance the intention.
Right.
So I recommend looking at all the skills you have and going out there, getting a part-time job that that is going to make a difference. So it supersedes the travel time and the pay. Like, if you were going to get a part-time job at $8 an hour, I'm not sure that it would be worth the time.
Right.
But there are plenty of part-time jobs out there, you know, for $15, $20, and perhaps hooking up with a recruiter.
Mm-hmm.
Have you gone down that route yet?
I've tried to contact a bunch of recruiters, and they ask for my resume, and then I don't hear back from them. So I continue to follow up with them once a week, email and phone calls, but I haven't got a lot of traction in that area yet.
Have you done any walk-ins?
Yes. Still get the same response. You know, thanks for coming in. Send us your resume. We'll put it in the system. Here's my email address. Feel free to call or feel free to follow back with us.
Mm-hmm. So up until today, on a scale of 1 to 10, how committed have you been to this process?
Over the last month, maybe 5 weeks, except for the time that I was helping my wife with the births and recovery and that, I put about 6 to 7 hours a day into the process.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So is that a 10 or a 6 or 7 on the scale of 1 to 10 in terms of commitment?
Because I also work on, it's about 6 to 7 hours on finding a job, a J-O-B. I also
mm-hmm.
spend other hours per day on my business, the business needs or the business opportunities that I'm working on. So
mm-hmm.
I would say that all in all, on all the different ways that I'm trying to bring in income, definitely a 10.
Well, what do you like to do? Like, what do you love to do? What are some hobbies that could be turned into a part-time job? Because what I'm getting is that I'm not feeling your passion.
Right.
And so I'm wondering if when you're putting yourself out there, that people are picking up on that as well.
Ah, I see. Okay.
So stepping into it with passion and enthusiasm, what are you enthusiastic about?
Sitting at home on my couch. No, I'm kidding.
Okay. A couch potato?
Yeah, exactly. Couch potato. Yeah. My interests are diverse. I love business and helping people with strategy, doing strategy sessions, setting out 3-year goals, 1-year goals, objectives, the vision, that kind of thing. So I really like doing business consulting.
Mm-hmm.
On that end of things, the strategy, helping design sales and marketing plans, that kind of stuff. I've had some interest from people that want me to do that on a commission only basis.
Yeah.
And but their product is either overpriced or they're they have no money to put into a program. So they want me to take on all the risk to do that, and that's just not a place where I'm at right now.
Okay. So what are your hobbies?
Hobbies are, I like to ski, although, I'm a little out of shape, so I haven't done that too much. I really enjoy, this may sound bad, but, Texas Hold'em poker. Playing with some friends, that's a lot of fun. Board games, any kind of game where it challenges my intellect, and it's a social mm-hmm. kind of thing.
Well, I had a former client who committed to getting a part-time job, and she loved dogs. She loved pets and dogs, and
right.
She was living in an apartment that was too small for her to own her own dog.
Right.
And so what she did was she went and got a dog-walking, pet-sitting part-time job.
Gotcha.
And it pays around 15 or 20 bucks an hour, and it's something that she loves to do. So that's where I'm going here with you right now. Anything come up for you there?
Let's see. I have a real big interest in real estate, businesses, strategy setting, skiing. I don't know, to be honest with you.
Mm-hmm.
I'll have to think about that.
Well, I know there's a lot of opportunity in real estate in terms of part-time or full-time jobs that would get your foot in the door. So so you like to invest in real estate?
Yes, correct. Yeah.
Okay, because there's a lot of real estate companies and real estate investors
mm-hmm.
that. They are looking for full-time or part-time assistance.
Right.
In which you get paid on an hourly basis, and you get to learn about the opportunities in real estate.
Right.
So that might be an idea to look into.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
And so I know it's, smaller on the scale, but it's a foot in the door, and it's money up front, and you get a free education.
Right. Oh, that's a good way to look at it.
Yeah. What else do you love to do?
Let's see. There again, I'm a little out of shape. I used to love to dance, but I'm out of shape, so I haven't done that in quite a while.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
Don't have a lot of other interests right now. You know, I've been so focused on the pregnancy and the birth of my son that that's taken a lot of time and effort right now.
Sure.
Understandable.
Understandable. Well, it seems like you're passionate about real estate, and a great way to get your foot in the door is getting a part-time, full-time job in the company. Or maybe there's a real estate investor, an entrepreneur who wants a sidekick.
Right.
And so it's a free education for you. It's something you're passionate about. And it gives the real estate company or investor an opportunity to experience you.
Right.
You know, who Rocky is. And I'm sure that bringing your full self to the job will only inspire this company or real estate investor to bring you on.
Mm-hmm. What about if my interest is really in business consulting and coaching and that kind of thing? There doesn't seem to be a lot of jobs that pay for that kind of thing.
What about it? What are my thoughts on it?
Yeah.
There are some coaches out there that looking for assistance, but there are a lot of organizations out there that peak potentials and whatnot that perhaps maybe looking for some help.
I see.
But I like. Where are you looking? Where are you looking for work? Like, are you looking on Craigslist?
There's a little bit on Craigslist I've been looking, but not a lot of good postings on there. I'm focusing on sixfigurejobs.com, theladders.com, and LinkedIn.
Right.
And then, like I said, I've been trying to find all the different recruiting agencies in the area. So I spend a lot of time on the web and various ways, just getting names and numbers and out with my network, either on the phone or email with my network to find out who they know and if they know any opportunities, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that's where the majority of my time has been spent is at the network, looking for opportunities through the network. LinkedIn, I find a very, very good resource. The ladders.com or opsladder.com and sixfigurejobs.com.
Yeah. Well, what I see is I see doing something different is going to get you the results you want.
Right.
I see you really determined and working really hard and putting yourself out there and doing the same thing over and over again obviously creates the same result, and you want a different result. I encourage you to choose about 20 real estate companies or investors and walk yourself in. Introduce yourself in person,
right.
and with enthusiasm and passion, and let them know who you are and what value you have to bring to them.
Got
whether it. They have a position or not. I mean, I've gotten jobs where they've actually created positions for me.
Mm-hmm.
So if you go in there and say, you know, this is who I am. This is what I have to offer. You never know what's going to show up.
Right. Just ask for the head honcho in the place and then talk to that person and bring my whole self to the table and tell them what I can offer and see where it goes.
Yep. And do it from, you know, do it from 100% commitment and enthusiasm and being clear on your intention.
Mm-hmm. what would my intention be?
Well, that's my question for you. What would it be?
To develop an opportunity, I guess, would be my intention.
The opportunity being perhaps increased productivity?
Pardon me?
Increased productivity is something that they love to hear.
Right, right.
Because that means more business for them.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Good.
So, yeah, at this point, I would do something drastically different, and I think walking yourself into real estate companies and investors, because you are selling you. You're not really selling your products.
Right.
And the best sales are made in person.
Mm-hmm. Excellent insight.
Oh, and you know what else would work is if you brought your baby boy with you.
Wouldn't that be a little weird?
I don't know. It could be a good strategy.
You think?
You know how people soften up and get all goo-goo and...
Yeah.
Oh, who knows? It could be a good strategy.
I want to be careful that I'm not begging either, though. Showing people that I'm, you know, unemployed with a new baby boy.
Correct.
I'm a little worried that may portray the or project the wrong energy.
Correct. Well, it's all about your intention.
Okay. Well, I want to think about this a little bit more, this intention idea.
Yes, so, and please follow up with me.
That'd be great.
I'd love
on the show here or through email, or what would you prefer?
Whatever works for you. I would say email is great.
Alrighty.
Probably the best way.
Alrighty.
Thank you so much for your call, Rocky.
Thank you, Janet. I love your insights.
Thank you. Congratulations again, Daddy.
Thanks. That's really cool.
All right.
Take care.
You too. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Okay. Well, that was a great question. Here's Rocky, who I think is a extremely courageous man, has a new baby boy, really smart guy. Has tons to offer, has been successful in business, and he's been out there attempting to set up interviews, get a job. Nothing's really happening, and the idea is that if we do the same thing over and over again, we're going to get the same result. So what I encouraged Rocky to do, and I encouraged the listeners to do, if you're in a situation that is similar, is do something different. So be a little outrageous. Be a little unreasonable. And that's going to break the stuck energy. Opportunities are going to show up. Or there may be opportunities already, and you just don't see them because your mind is full of worry and concern. So thank you, Rocky. Oh, let's see. The next question here is, hey, Janet, I am a single mother of three wonderful daughters, and it's important to me that I am the best mother possible. My teenage daughter is disrespectful towards me, and she cusses in front of her younger sisters. I want her to respect me more. I've tried everything. Any thoughts? That's from Kathy in Seattle. Well, thank you for sharing that, Kathy. congratulations on being a single mother of three and being committed to being the best mother. We know there's no formal education for parenthood. So kudos, actually, to all you parents out there. Rocky's a new parent. And we do our best. So let's see. Your teenage daughter is disrespecting you. She's cussing in front of her younger sisters. So I have a few thoughts, a few questions here, Kathy. I'm going to turn up the heat a little bit here. How are you respecting yourself? Are you respecting yourself? Are you modeling self-respect? If your answer is yes, that's wonderful. I would even encourage you to really look at that and see how you would model self-respect in a greater capacity than you are now. If your answer is no, then how can you expect to be treated with respect if you're not treating yourself with respect? So this is a good question. This is a really good topic. I work with quite a few single mothers, and I work with parents, and we talk about modeling behaviors of respect, modeling behaviors of integrity, modeling behaviors of ownership. And rather than telling our children what to do or what not to do. So modeling behaviors, I think, and based on experience, that is the strongest strategy to make a shift, to inspire another into living in their potential. In this case, self-respect. So on a scale of 1 to 10, how much do you respect yourself? How well are you respecting yourself? Are you modeling that? And if not, I would take a good look at what areas are strong, what areas could be enhanced. You're absolutely welcome to call me or email me. And another question is, are you telling her what you don't want rather than telling her what you do want? So are you saying, I don't want you to cuss in front of your sisters? If you flip it around to a more affirmative, declarative statement, as simple as, I want you to speak respectfully around your sisters, that may possibly create a shift in your teenage daughter. We're in a society where we speak and hear a lot of don't, I don't want. And rather than being focused on what we do want. And repetition of don't, and don't want, we tend to be focused on that, what we don't want. I think that you would like her to be focused on what you want. I think you would like her to be focused on what she wants. So have you asked her what she wants? Have you asked her what she desires? Have you asked her what's important to her? Have you asked her intention in swearing, cussing in front of her younger sisters? Have you asked her her intention of treating you the way that she treats you? So what does she get out of it? Because there's something underneath there. There's some kind of change that she actually wants to have happen. There's a behavior, there's an experience that she truly, truly desires, something that's really important to her. And maybe she doesn't know how to communicate it effectively, and it comes off as disrespect to you. So ask her. Ask her what she wants. Ask her what's important to her. Ask her intention. There's a great way to communicate effectively with people, and it's called the communication model. Communication model, you can Google it, and it's probably going to show you the long version, but there is a short version that I learned through the seminars that I participated and assisted in with context associated. So there's a way to communicate to people where you're not blaming them, you're not pointing the finger at them. You're talking about yourself, because that really is the truth, is whatever's going on for you it's about you. And whatever's going on for the other person, it's about that person. One suggestion I have in communication and starting off a communication that that you deem is difficult, or that you have some anxiety around or fear around, is appreciating that person. So your conversation begins with an appreciation or something that you are grateful for. Letting that person know what's important to you. A lot of times when we begin a conversation with gratitude or appreciation, it really softens up the connection between you and the other person. So the other person that you really would like to have listened to you is now doesn't really have their guard up so much. And that's a great pathway for them to really hear what you are saying. So those are my questions for you, Kathy, and some ideas for you to try on. And I look forward to hearing your results if you are so inclined to share them with me and with the audience at some point. I have time for one more call. I have time for one more call. In the meantime, I'll read one more question. Let's see. Dear Janet, I've been dating an amazing woman for 3 months. We have an extraordinary connection, yet we seem to be in a vicious cycle lately. I think it's because I now want to be monogamous, and she still wants to date other people. I feel conflicted because I truly love her. Dawn in D.C., well, you're not alone, Dawn. Kind of reflecting back to what I spoke to Rocky in terms of intention. So what is your intention in being monogamous? What is her intention in dating other people? What is your long-term vision? And sometimes it's really difficult to stand up for our truth and stay in that stand. I mean, really remain standing in our truth. So what is your long-term vision, Dawn? And do you want to build a life with somebody? Do you want to get married? Or are you okay with just spending time with wonderful people for the rest of your life? So that's a question to ask yourself. And perhaps your amazing woman has an answer for that question as well. What does she want in terms of a longer vision? So that's the intention to focus on right now, I think. And let's see what happens. Let's see what's next. Let me know. I would love to find out what your long-term vision is in the romance world and what hers is. And, well, that's the end of my show. I really appreciate Rocky for calling in. I appreciate all these emails. I appreciate you listeners. And, again, I appreciate Don and Seth of BBS Radio. And, by the way, we have over 7 million listeners worldwide, and you have an opportunity to advertise on my show and on my radio page. So 7 million listeners, and it's a great way to market yourself, your company, and your products. And feel free to contact me about advertising. I hope your potential is ignited, and I look forward to my next show. And create an extraordinary day. Thanks, and bye-bye.